Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour of tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Doesn't it go by so quickly, ladies and gentlemen, every Saturday night? Welcome back to the show. I'm James Edwards, joined in studio by Winston Smith this evening, AM 1380 WLRM Radio. That's our flagship right here in Memphis, Tennessee, the station we've been on for nearly 5 years now. It'll be 5 years on October 26th. We've got our big birthday party celebration coming on next week. Featured guests include Richard Spencer, the managing editor of Taki Mag, and Dr. Paul Gottfried. Tonight, you've heard from Alex Kurtigich, the author of Mister. You can learn more information about that book and buy it by going to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and clicking on the link there underneath the forthcoming guests. Of course, if you're listening to us tonight, you're probably tuned in to either 1380 or via the internet, maybe satellite, could be the Liberty News Wire, but many of those options are made available to you thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network, our syndicator, and their affiliate stations. We're thankful for all that have joined us this evening and made our program a part of your weekend. Joining us now on the line, very patiently so, two men that I have a great deal of respect for. We talk often about the need to become active and involve ourselves in organizations that are fighting the good fight. Obviously, at the very top of that list is the Council of Conservative Citizens, and we have two of their chapter chairmen or directors, Sid Secular and Brian Pace. Gentlemen, are you with us?
Yes, I am. This is Sid Secular.
Sid is, yes, is loud and clear. Brian, how about you?
I'm here. How about you?
I tell you. 5 years and it all works now. I mean, we used to. We could never coordinate anything like this on radio, but here we are. Gentlemen, it is such a pleasure to have you tonight. Y'all are doing great work, and we want to make mention of that work to the audience out there tonight to let them know what they can do with just a little bit of gumption and initiative. Sid, I'd like to start with you. I know Brian has a lot of information to report, but you, Mr. Secular, are the chairman of one of the council's most established and active organizations as well. Where are you calling from tonight?
Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm the director of the National Capital Area Chapter, CFCC, as we call ourselves, Council of Conservative Citizens.
And tell us how you involve yourself up there in Maryland or in the D.C. area to enact positive change on behalf of the membership of the Council of Conservative Citizens and of this nation in general.
Well, we have educational programs. We have some top speakers, including Paul Fromm, who was our last speaker. We go to events such as the Patriotic Tea Party in D.C. recently. We attend boycotts or demonstrations, and we attempt to get a lot of other people involved in the conservative movement through a distribution of flyers and applications for joining our organization. We distribute the Council's newspaper, the Citizens Informer, widely, and always to new people who haven't seen it before. And we try to, have liaison with a lot of other organizations locally, and we hope to, go to their meetings and they and go to ours. And we want to make the conservatives aware of our existence and positions on various issues. We are a bit more right-wing than the average conservative, but we're trying to fight the good fight and uphold our basic values, our real conservative values, sometimes called paleo-conservative, meaning like we're a bunch of dinosaurs, but we're actually right on the money, so to speak.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and obviously a lot of good things are happening there, but and I like the way that you describe it all. A lot of people would withdraw themselves or keep themselves purposefully sidelined because they're afraid of some names that they may be called if they get involved in an alternative organization to the Republican Party. Obviously, the Republican Party is delivering nothing for our people. We need to be joining organizations like the Council of Conservative Citizens, who have been around for a number of decades and have always had a sterling track record of activism and success. Obviously, if you do good work, eventually you're going to become engaged by the enemy. I mean, that's just inevitable. You want that to happen. That's something that we should welcome and not run from. But, Sid, before I go to Brian, I'd like to ask you one more question. What is the kind of reaction you're receiving from the real people, the real people, the real Americans out there that you're looking to engage, you're looking to work with and add to your ranks in order to grow the Army? How are you received by the local population of the citizenry that you encounter?
We're basically accepted by everybody. Everybody in my neighborhood knows what I do. Of course, we have extreme leftists who we have a little bit of trouble with recently. We didn't have any problem with them until our very last meeting, and I've been the director here for 2 years. Everything has run smoothly, and we have a lot of people who find out about us through the website or, people telling each other about us, and we gradually grow our membership that way. And so basically everything is positive. We just have to contend with some leftists, and I don't think we'll have too much trouble with them in the future, although we had something that just stopped short of a physical altercation at our last meeting. But I think we can assume that we won't have any problems with them. I understand this organization called One People's Project has been giving CFCC chapters, particularly in the Northeast, a hard time by demonstrating, and they get their jollies or pride in trying to disrupt our meetings. But I noticed that they had a spread on us recently on their website, and it's been removed completely. So I got a feeling that they don't want to tangle with us, at least our chapter, anymore, because we kind of gave them tit for tat. We, kind of gave them what they didn't expect. We called the police and had them physically removed from the premises. They had no right to barge in on a private meeting, trespass, and harass. So
good to have the law on our side for a change. And this just goes to show, folks, if you unite together and stand in solidarity with one another against the lawless tactics that the left employs and against the bullying tactics, that they will back down and we can be successful. We can get our message out, a message of constitutionalism and righteousness, and things can be won and things can be taken back for our people. And another man doing that without doubt is Brian Pace. Brian, you're obviously up here in Mississippi, not too far from this studio where we sit this evening. What chapter do you represent, sir?
I represent the Upper East Mississippi Council of Conservative Citizens. I'm the field organizer, and we're set up a little bit different than most chapters. Our president mostly does the executive work, and as a field organizer, I'm mostly in charge of the grassroots organizing, I guess you could say, recruiting, starting new campaigns. And then at the same time, I handle the secretary of treasurer work. We think it works looks a little bit better doing it that way, so that our other members can be free up to, I guess, wreak havoc on the liberals however they can in their own communities. And we've had a ton of activities this year. We've started organizing in December, and January we've already growing in membership. We had a Confederate flag rally for Robert E. Lee in January. We proceeded into April with a protest against the IRS and the Federal Reserve in Tupelo, Mississippi. And this past September we had a protest against free trade agreements like NAFTA and illegal immigration. And each of our rallies, we've had a good bit of public support. We've had a lot of people signing our petitions. And people are very excited to see a conservative organization operate in Mississippi. And a lot of people are fed up with the Democrats and Republicans, or the Republicrats or the demagogues, however you want to call them. A lot of people are looking for a paleo-conservative organization in Upper East Mississippi. And we've definitely delivered that for them.
Well, you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, that the Council of Conservative Citizens, by the accent alone from our two guests right now, is an organization that transcends state lines. It is a national organization, and from coast to coast, this organization is doing good work and producing results on behalf of our people and for the American experiment as the constitutional republic that it was intended to be. And they're attracting attention, our two guests are tonight. Brian, I know in your chapter you've recently caught the eye. We have a minute left to break, by the way. Caught the eye of the BBC, which is obviously big, big news, where our last guest was from, over in the United Kingdom and Western Europe.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I was just sitting on the internet one day updating our Mississippi chapter site, and I got a phone call. It was a private number, and you would think, well, that's probably a salesman. It's got a cell phone number, and turns out the guy was Bill Law from the BBC. He hosts Crossing Continents, a radio program over in Britain. He was originally from Canada, and he's supposed to be coming down here on Thursday, October the 22nd. He's coming to Grenada and be interviewing some of our Mississippi chapter folks from all around the state. We've got probably 7 or 8 people from around the state that's going to be coming together, and a couple of us will take turns doing the interview, and we hope to represent the CFCC very well in Mississippi.
Well, we're going to talk more about that with Brian Pace of the Upper East Mississippi Council of Conservative Citizens. We also have on the line Sid Secular of the National CFCC chapter over there in the D.C. area. A lot more to come, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to want to hear what they have to say, and we'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're talking about real activism tonight. We're talking about street activism, getting involved in your local community, which, let's face it, that's where the real results can be won. We're talking with two leaders this evening, two men who are fighting the good fight. They are chapter directors for the Council of Conservative Citizens, Sid Secular, over there in the Washington, D.C. area, suburban Maryland, and Brian Pace of the Northeast Mississippi chapter of the CFCC. This is an organization, the Council of Conservative Citizens, to which I belong. I am a proud member. This show sponsors it's sponsored by the CFCC in part, and we encourage everyone to take a good, hard look at this organization and consider strongly becoming a member with us. These men that we're talking to, Mr. Pace, Mr. Secular, they're speaking out. They're building local chapters of this organization. As we all know, there are strength in numbers. They are recruiting members to come join them and become politically active. They are producing results and obviously getting attention, which, it goes without saying, goes a long way in building one's credibility, which in turn boosts your leadership profile. You have to have all of this before people are going to take you seriously, and these men are providing it for their respective chapters in the council. I'm going to go back to Mr. Secular in just a moment, but before we do, I want to ask a quick follow-up question of Brian Pace. Obviously, big news. The BBC is not just interviewing Brian and getting some information about his local council chapter. They are doing so in person, flying all the way from Europe to come and sit down and get news about the council's activism in Northeast Mississippi. Brian, anything specific that they want to talk to you about? Do you know?
They hadn't really addressed the specifics, but I know for sure that he got in touch with us based on our protest against free trade agreements and illegal immigration. I think one of the reasons the BBC wants to come over is because the Council of Conservative Citizens is operating and promoting conservative economic agenda in Northeast Mississippi, and the Republicans and Democrats have failed to deliver for middle-class workers for so long, and even the BBC now sees us as the leader promoting economic nationalism and America First trade policies, and I think that's one of the main reasons. Plus, we're going to be working on a Mississippi poverty campaign for white middle-class workers who've been laid off due to the economic recession and free trade, and we're going to be promoting that for the next 3 months based on a food drive in November and a toy drive in December, and we've have a 20-step program to end poverty in Upper East Mississippi. And I think those are some key issues that they are coming over for, because they know that we are offering the suggestions and the advice of how we can finally change our economy and rebuild our economy in Upper East Mississippi.
Now, obviously, we're talking about the BBC here. This is an interview that's going to be taking place in just a few days' time. But that is hardly the only press you've received in response to the work you're doing up there.
Yes, we received pretty good coverage from the Banner Independent. It's the main newspaper out of Boonville, Mississippi in Prentice County. And this past month, we got front-page news coverage from the Tishomingo County News in Tishomingo County, Mississippi. They give us a good full-page article based on our views on the economy and tariffs and rebuilding our economy, because that's such a key issue in rural Mississippi, is the lack of jobs, and that's what's created a new face of poverty or laid off workers, and they see us as finally representing what they want. Even the newspaper was supporting what we believe in, and they hadn't got that from the Democrats and Republicans in so long that they were willing to put their neck on the line just to give us press coverage based on what we were doing to help people in their communities.
Mr. Secular, we're talking obviously with both of you, and Brian was elaborating on some of the issues that they address in his chapter, some of the things that the press has taken note of. What do you think are some of the most important issues that would bring people to the CFCC, and what issues specifically are you speaking out on currently in the D.C. area?
Well, we always address the problem of affirmative action and other issues that are indirectly or directly related to race questions. We are trying to also kind of reach out beyond our normal parameters. We're inviting people to attend European ethnic festivals. We've conducted three or four of those, and we're going to have one around Halloween. And invite people to find out about us. We distribute newspapers at such things. We we had a page and a half of reportage in the American Free Press in the issue before the very last one on the events that took place locally here at our meeting where Paul Frum was a speaker. And I've had an interview with a local newspaper, the local county's business and political journal in Montgomery County, Maryland, that we talked about what the problems were generally in the country, excuse me, the economic problems and the political problems and social problems connected with all the various isms that are dragging us down, such as liberalism, humanism, feminism, and so on and so forth. And that one got a good review, and a lot of people are aware of our existence now, including the bank tellers and other people I see on a daily basis. So we are getting the word out. We plan to get much more involved in local activism, such as distributing flyers and creating petitions. And we're growing gradually. We have something like 200 people that I send the monthly notices to, including 90 members. And we've hired two very highly regarded webmasters for our brand new website, which is www.nationalcapitol.com. We've hired the webmaster of the American Renaissance Journal and another very good webmaster, Joel Lefevre, who was the former editor of our paper, The Citizens Informer. And we are going to create a blog where we can get a lot of attention and kind of fine-tune everything so we have the right keywords to attract public attention. The council in general got a lot of publicity recently due to our ads on internet programs, and that's kind of spilling over into our area.
Well, it's exciting. I'm excited to be able to bring both of you gentlemen on the program tonight just to give just a little teaser into what kind of activism is taking place in just these two chapters respectively. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Council of Conservative Citizens here, which is a national organization which has chapters from the far left coast down to Florida, up to Maine and over, and of course throughout the Heartland and the Southland. But what you're hearing tonight, I understand that a lot of people need to feel that an organization is legitimate before they'll invest their time and money and effort into working for and promoting that organization. But when you're looking for legitimacy on the right and in the paleoconservative world, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more battle-tested organization than the CFCC to join. If you're looking, you know, we're a radio program. We serve a purpose here. We educate, we try to inform, we try to bring provocative guests to you so that you can take that knowledge and turn it into activism. But in terms of working for us, there's not much you can do other than spread the word and obviously contribute to the program to help keep us on air so that we can continue to play our role through the media. But if you're looking for an organization to latch on to that you can go out and work for, that you can go out and do things for on a daily basis that will always provide results, then you got to look at the Council of Conservative Citizens. We're going to bring these gentlemen back after the commercial break for a final word, but this is an organization, if you join, you're going to have a fine chapter. And if there's not a chapter in your area, you can always be the one to start one, which is equally exciting. But if you join in Northeast Mississippi or in the Washington, D.C. area, you know what you're getting. You're getting an established entity. You're getting something that's producing results. You're getting Brian Pace up here in our area, and you're getting Sid Secular over there in suburban Maryland and Washington, D.C. And we're going to hear a final word from them right after the break. The CSCC website, by the way, is cofcc.org. for the national, and we'll
Don't
be back right after this.
The political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. Again, we're highlighting right now the activism that is taking place in just two of the chapters of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Obviously, the CFCC, as I've said before, is a national organization. When you join the Council of Conservative Citizens, and you can join by going to their website, cofcc.org, cofcc.org. As soon as you join, they will put you in touch with your local chapter chairman. If you join in Northeast Mississippi, that'll obviously be Brian Pace. If you join in the Washington, D.C. area, it'll be Sid Secular. But no matter who it is, they'll get you in touch with your local chapter. And if there is, if you happen to join in an area where there's not an existing chapter, you could be entitled to start one up yourself, and they'll help you go through the process of doing that. But again, it's our pleasure to highlight the work that these two men specifically are doing this evening on behalf of the council, because it is good work. It's legitimate work. It's results that are getting a lot of attention, a lot of media, and producing good results. You know, if there were four homosexuals rolling around in the streets of Northeast Mississippi, that'd be front page news of the USA Today. But you might not know of all of the good things that are going on out there in your local areas, good work that is being produced by people like Brian and Sid, if you relied on the national media to give you your daily bread. That's another reason why this program is so important. We let you know what's really happening out there and how you can be involved. And with that being said, I want to give each of these gentlemen a final word before we go to our next guest. Sid, final word from you. Anything you'd like to convey to the audience that we have failed to ask you thus far?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that we cover a larger area than just the Washington, D.C. metro area and Maryland. We cover probably about 80% of Virginia. There are chapters starting as we speak in Southwest and Southeast Virginia, but by and large, Virginia doesn't have a chapter, so we invite people to come here. People have come as far as from North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. So we cover a very wide area. I make sure all our members get copies of the Citizen Informer. Of course, that's sent by the national chapter to members, and we send it to non-members are always welcome to come to our meetings. We have as many non-members as members attending our meetings, and they get copies of the newspaper. If anybody would like to get a free copy, they can get one by going to the national website or my own website, you know, in which I have a spot for them to include their information for getting a copy. And we are working very closely with American Renaissance, who is having a convention in February. Last time we had approximately 300 people, and we expect growing numbers. That's an allied organization who are out to preserve the rights and, how shall we say, the position of European Americans in the United States. And we will have our own table at that event, too.
And that's coming up in February, as it
February
does.
19th through the 21st.
That's Jared Taylor's outfit every other
year. MRN.com is the website to go to find out about that.
Well, see,
we will distribute a lot of literature at that particular meeting.
And that's obviously one of the biggest in the movement. Every other year he has that biannual symposium, and it's good to know that the CSCC, a national chapter, will be there and be well represented. Brian, Final word from you, sir. Most important reason you would encourage men and women to join the CFCC, and what can we expect from your chapter in the near future?
The Upper East Mississippi Council of Conservative Citizens by far is the most conservative organization that's looking out specifically for middle-class people, people like everyone that's listening right now. And our upcoming events on Halloween, we'll be doing a tea party, our own conservative tea party in Ripley, Mississippi. We have it from 3 o'clock to 4:30. On November the 2nd, we'll be working together with others in the central part of the state to set up a new chapter in Strider Academy around Charleston, Mississippi. We're currently working with the Northwest Alabama chapter to organize a chapter in South Central Tennessee, and we're working to start a chapter around Shiloh, Tennessee as well that will be working together with us. And the main thing I can stress to people is that you don't have to have a whole lot of members to start a chapter. You can have five people or less if you have to. Just get something started wherever you can. And the main thing is encourage people that are independent outside of the council to work together with you and have a kind of umbrella protests and rallies and campaigns like our poverty campaign. Work together with individuals outside the council and kind of shine our light on others, and then they want to join as well. And you can get in touch with us at P.O. Box 1479, Boonville, Mississippi, 38829. And you can check out our local activities just by going to the CFCC website, www.cfcc.org, scrolling down and clicking on Mississippi. That's the Mississippi Council website. It covers all the chapters in Mississippi. It's got news on each chapter, and it's got updated news each day. And you can go to our Twitter site at twitter.com/MSCCC54. Updated every single day of the week, multiple times a day. You can get a lot of good news off there. And the main thing is we encourage people to send us news tips for all the chapters in Mississippi. Send us news tips. Tell us what's going on in your communities, because the mainstream media will shut out some of the big news. And we want to know where the illegal aliens are working at. We want to know where whites are being discriminated in the workplace. Just let us know what's going on in your communities, and you can be a citizen reporter. And we just want to thank James Edwards of Political Cesspool for putting out a great radio program. And we encourage everyone to support the Political Cesspool, the Council of Conservative Citizens, because we're working to change this country.
Mr. Brian Pace, Mr. Sid Secular, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight and letting our folks know, our listeners know, what's going on in just two of the many chapters of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And ladies and gentlemen, as I've said again, go to cfcc.org, join up. You can find links there that will direct you to some of the different chapter sites, and just sign up, and they'll get you in touch with your local chapter. And if you're in either of these two areas, well, you'll already know what you'll be getting, Sid Secular and Brian Pace. Guys, thank you so much, and best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Wow, what a hard-hitting night, what a fast-paced night. I do wholeheartedly encourage everyone to check out the CFCC. Great work being done there, and you just heard from two of its very finest leaders. Now moving right along to our next guest. We're running about 15 minutes late in all that we do this evening, but that's the live radio. Sometimes it works that way. A very good friend of mine, a man that I've known for a number of years. He was a staffer with the American Cause Organization in the past, which is obviously Pat Buchanan's organization, and he is a regular guest and contributor to this program, Mr. Carlton Huffman. Carlton, how's it going this evening?
It is going very well, James. It's a pleasure to be back on the cesspool on the verge of your anniversary once again, and I am just pleased and happy to bring some more good news for your listeners. I have been on the lookout for good news because we need all of it that we can get during these dark times for our country, but it is out there, and I am very happy to bring it here tonight.
Well, Carlton, it's always my pleasure to have you on, and that's the honest to God's truth. I tell you, I don't know what's going on with the show tonight. It's been 2 hours of relatively good news that is so unlike us. People are going to wonder if they've tuned into the right show. But tonight we do celebrate some good news. I guess we're just in a festive spirit overall right now. But yes, indeed. Carlton, what do you have for us?
Well, 2 weeks ago in Wake County, North Carolina, which is the capital, Raleigh, and the surrounding area, they had the municipal elections for the school board. And just to give your listeners a background, the Raleigh and Wake County area practices a form of busing where they try to bus for diversity. They tried at one point to say that it was not for racial diversity, but for diversity of income, which was just one way of hiding it. But over the past few years, parents have finally gotten upset because the school assignment policies were so absurd that they were having siblings from the same household going to different schools on in different parts of the county just because they wanted to promote diversity. Well, finally, they had the school board elections, and I'm happy to say that there are 4 school board races that were available. 3 opponents of the school busing program won outright and with big majorities, and a 4th race is still pending. They're going to have a runoff, but both candidates that are in that runoff are saying they're going to vote against the school busing policy, and this will give opponents of the busing policy a majority on the school board. And just to give you your listeners further background, this county is about 800,000 people, and it went for Barack Obama last election. So if a county of such size and of such makeup that went for Barack Obama can vote against school busing, we are in good shape, and this is very good news for our movement.
This, Carlton, is stunningly good news, and I'm not over-dramatizing the fact, I don't think, particularly after you informed me of the demographic voting makeup there. This was I knew, obviously, in advance of the program that you were going to be sharing with us that good news, but I did not know that the makeup was such that you just elaborated on. That even makes it more incredible, and we're going to be learning more about it during the last segment of the program this evening. It just goes to show, folks, when we pull together, this is what I've been saying all the whole program. In fact, the whole series, the last 5 years of this program, when we come together, not much can stop us, and it serves as further evidence that people do still fundamentally agree with the tenets that this program espouses. We'll be back with more with Carlton Huffman right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Just one final quick preview for next week's program. We will be joined during the first hour by Richard Spencer, the managing editor of Talkie Mag. And also during that first hour by Dr. Paul Gottfried. And then during the second and third hours of next week's show, we will be having our annual birthday celebration commemorating 5 years of this program being on the air. And don't forget, special promotion between now and then. It started actually at the onset of tonight's program. The special offer will continue and conclude at the end of next week's show. Anyone who gives us a little birthday gift of $25 or more between now and next week, we'll receive an autographed copy of our booklet that we're promoting, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. It'll be signed by myself, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, Eddie Miller, and Keith Alexander, our gift to you in celebration of our birthday to contributors who donate $25 or more this week online at thepoliticalcesspool.com. So take advantage of that, and let's all share in the festive spirit that we now find ourselves in. Carlton Huffman is my final guest for the evening. He's much more than a guest, of course. He is a good friend and a man that I have a great deal of respect for, and he's sharing with us good news, which makes his appearance all the more welcoming. He is sharing with us that a very large county near Washington, D.C., that voted for Barack Obama last year, is recently gone to the polls again and are electing school board members who oppose busing. This is one of our issues, ladies and gentlemen, and goes to show once again that the American people are with us. They just need to be organized, and in the rare occasions where they're able to vote on issues that they understand, and this is very basic freedom of association, the freedom for European Americans to control their own destiny and not allow the false gods of cultural Marxism to dictate what and whom they must do and associate with. This is, I tell you, Carlton, this is the best news I've heard in quite a while.
Yes, it is absolutely good news, because Raleigh, North Carolina has had the reputation of going a little bit more liberal these days, because we've had a large number of people coming in from the north and coming in from other parts of the country that don't necessarily share the southern viewpoint on these kind of issues. But parents understand the most basic issue is that your children are the thing that you take the most responsibility for and the most pride in, and that when somebody tries to come between you and your children, you have to do something about it. And they did something about it in a big way, coming out in large numbers to vote against these school board members who were still trying to promote diversity of income, which in reality was racial integration that they were trying to promote. And the fact is that they tried to play on the fear card. They tried to say that we are going to see resegregated schools, we're going to see the school system collapse, but nobody was intimidated by these threats, and they came out in a big way, and we have ourselves a very big victory to celebrate in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, and you're talking about the school board, and people will say, oh, well, that's just a school board. We got to elect governors and senators and the president. It'd be nice if we could do those things, of course. But I still ardently believe that we must take advantage or take control of the local political apparatus first. And when talking about school board, this is a very important position for a lot of reasons. And I'll give you just the most recent example. Last week, we celebrated, at least some of us did, a great American hero, Christopher Columbus. We still have Columbus Day. I don't know how it's managed to survive as they savage Christopher Columbus in the media. But Christopher Columbus, obviously the man who discovered America from the European perspective, and an adventurer, an explorer, a man that we are all, we should all hold in the highest regard. Well, obviously, in a lot of these schools, and not all of them, but in a lot of these schools I was reading about online last week, they were just absolutely skewering the legacy, the great legacy of Christopher Columbus. In one school specifically, Carleton, they had a mock trial and convicted him of all sorts of things, and then I think hung him or sentenced him to death. This is what they're teaching kids to do, to our ancestors, to our heroes. This is what they're being taught is right, and it's completely wrong. Well, you get people with any sense and any sense of respect for the people who came before us and the people who actually did things the right way, and obviously in speaking of Christopher Columbus, one of the greatest discoverers in the history of Western civilization, you get school board members who understand and respect those things, and they're not going to be trying him in a mock court in class. They're going to be learning about the great things that he did. And obviously, that's it goes without saying, quite important.
Well, it is absolutely very important. One other very encouraging fact of this is while we know the National Republican Party is the stupid party, as the late Dr. Sam Francis once said, the local Republican Party in Wake County, North Carolina, actually got behind these candidates and actually was promoting the issue on the side of the parents. They were on the ground and raising the money, knocking on the doors. And so the Republican Party, at least on the local level at this point, is adopting this issue and running with it. And this
Carleton,
is a very encouraging sign.
You are full of surprises tonight. Now, if you had asked me if I bet the Republican Party would have gotten behind the candidates who were standing with the will of the conservative majority there, I would have said not a chance. I would have lost a lot of money on that one. Now, I'm and I guess if I relied once again on the media to inform me of these things, I would always be wandering around in the dark. But thankfully, we've got our guests on this program who educate even me as the host, Carleton. Again, full of encouraging news.
It is absolutely very encouraging to see that even though we have worthless leaders like Michael Steele, Newt Gingrich, and Rush Limbaugh, who we just saw got skewered because he was slurred in the media, even though he bends over backwards and doesn't do anything to promote the real issues of the conservative European American majority, he is going to learn the hard way that if you do not actually oppose these people forthright, you're going to get run over by them no matter what you do. And the more people that are realizing that, the more people that are going to take a stand and say, we do not care what the media says about us. They had the Raleigh News and Observer, they had the local television markets all trying to slander these candidates, saying that they're for the resegregation of schools, that neighborhood schools are going to destroy the quality of education in Lake County, North Carolina. And the local Republican Party, these candidates and their families, still stood firm, and they have won a great victory, and I think that come next year we are going to see the end of this busing policy, and we can thank God for that.
Well, it's 40 years too late, but better late than never. And I'll tell you, Carleton, do you think there's any chance of victories like this being replicated in other parts of the country. Surely if it can be done in a district like this, it can be done in places like rural Mississippi.
Oh, absolutely, it can be done. I mean, not only in Wake County, North Carolina, but in Charlotte, North Carolina, Mecklenburg County. They did away in recent years with the system of busing children to schools. They restored neighborhood schools. So if we can see victories like this in Charlotte, if we can see it in Raleigh, which is definitely a more Democratic town, we can actually see it in places like rural Mississippi, like Tennessee, hopefully up here in Northern Virginia, God help us if we could actually get that through. But the fact is that victories like this are possible when the people are willing to take the stands and when we can actually get some help by informed leaders in the local Republican Party, we can actually do something and we can make this happen.
All the more reason people should join local organizations, not supporting the phonies like Sean Hannity always is talking about, the Heritage Organization or even the NRA. Support local chapters. We were talking about the CFCC earlier. So, you know, get involved if you have to get involved. You know, get involved with a local Republican Party. Obviously, the National Republican Party is beyond hope right now, but you can still find some relatively constitutionalist-leaning local Republican parties. Get involved and elect local people, school board, sheriff, county commissioners. You can do that. It can still be done. And then you can spread your influence to other parts of the state. And who knows? We might be celebrating victories like this left and right.
Absolutely. I think that the fact is that people have seen what the president has done to us, and the fact is that he is destroying this country at a faster pace than we even thought possible. We thought it was bad under George Bush, but Barack Obama has made it much, much worse in a very short amount of time. So people are realizing that if there is going to be something done to stop this, it has to be done now. And the way you have to start is absolutely all politics is local. We can win these local races. We can win city council. We can win the sheriffs. And eventually we can elect state legislatures and then eventually governors. And maybe God help us one day, we'll actually get a president of the United States that is actually on our side once.
Carlton Huffman, my friend, thank you for coming on the program tonight in our waning moments and putting the exclamation point at the end of the paragraph, the cherry on top of the cake. You have certainly capped off my night in grand fashion, and I think we all are going to sleep a little bit better tonight having heard your excellent report. It gives me hope. It should give you hope, too. Carlton, we will talk to you again hopefully sooner rather than later. Keep us informed with what's going on. We're counting on you.
Absolutely, James, and it's a pleasure, and I look forward to hearing your birthday celebration next week. Keep up the good work and look forward to the next 5 years.
God bless you, my friend, and thank you for all you do, not just for this program, but for our people in general. Carlton Huffman, everybody, a great American. And that does it for our program this evening. I'm James Edwards on behalf of the entire Political Cesspool cast and crew, including our hosting staff, Winston Smith, Eddie Miller, Bill Rowland, and Winston Smith, Keith Alexander, everybody. I'm James Edwards. Good night. God bless you. We'll see you next week for the birthday party.
In the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.